One of the most well-known chapters, of course, in the Word of God, and I would say in the world today. We are doing, if you're visiting with us for the very first time or tuning in live for the first time, we are doing a series on the gifts of the Spirit, beginning there, of course, in chapter 12 all the way to chapter 14. The reason we're doing that is because, of course, we teach through the Bible on Sunday mornings. We're in the New Testament, of course, book of 1 Corinthians. But the problem the reason Paul is writing, it's corrective in narrative, is that the church, as we already know, they're abusing the gifts of the Spirit, especially tongues. And not only that, man, they are literally, they're young, they're divided, they're carnal, they're suing one another. They're just a church that's out of control. But when it comes to the gifts, you have to understand, they were in love with the gifts, not really the giver of the gifts, okay? They love the supernatural, and there's nothing wrong with that if it's balanced properly, amen. And that's what's so important. As we continue this series, listen carefully. See, you may be here this morning, you may be brand new, never even heard about the gifts. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, God did not give them, and He does not want you to be afraid of them. He doesn't want you to be uncomfortable concerning them. And above anything else, God does not want you to be ignorant or uninformed on the true operation of the supernatural gifts of the Spirit that only the Holy Spirit gives as He wills, to whom He wills, and operates through that person whenever He wills. Not the person, but the Holy Spirit. Amen? Very important. Remember again, the gifts of the Spirit, they're not given to man for man to be glorified or a ministry to be glorified. They're given, Jesus said. Remember what the Holy Spirit would do in John 16, 14. He said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. So this morning we're looking at a church. They were zealous, I mean on fire for the gifts. And the Bible says in chapter 1 of Corinthians, they were enriched in every gift, man. Yet, they were using the gifts of the Spirit instead of to build up the body of Christ. They were tearing apart the church at Corinth. Remember that the true gifts of the Spirit, again, when they are exercised by the Holy Spirit through the individual, according to God's Word, meaning the Scriptures, the results of it will always bring glory to our Lord. Never to a man, never to a ministry. And just as the gifts of the Spirit, as we left off last time about the human body as an example to the church, in other words, the human body is one single unit with all different members and parts. Thank God some of my parts are working this morning and some of them are not, okay? But as soon as the Sudafed kicks in, I will be breathing again, praise God. Now, with all that being said, the church is like the body in that it is composed of many different members, you, but it's still one body. Many different giftings, but still one body by the one Holy Spirit who operates in it, the divine helper of the church. Now, with all that being said, Paul tells us in chapter 12, when we ended in verse 31, it tells us, he says, brethren, he says, listen, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, this morning, listen very carefully. I cannot tell you, you know, whenever you feel bad, and I'm not trying to play a fiddle up here, but when you feel bad, it's like I told the Lord, Lord, why am I feeling bad on this is the most important message on the gifts of the Spirit. And it's probably because the Lord said, because, you know, Bill, this way you can know it's me working through you. It has nothing to do with you, you sissy. My heart is crying out to you this morning to understand the gifts and how the gifts truly are activated in the believer's life, and how they operate. And that's what we're going to talk about. I want you to notice that the gifts of the Spirit, and these are by all not exhaustive, there are only nine that we were talking about here, and there's many more. However, it begins in chapter 12 to chapter 14. Right in the middle of the gifts and the conduct of the church concerning the gifts is chapter 13. Man, this book, this chapter, if you get this into your heart, if you understand how the gifts operate, how they're activated, you'll never be the same. And it's so simple because, see, it's not about you. It's about God's love in you. Amen? And that's why this chapter is so important. Now listen, chapter 13 is not, and let me say it again, chapter 13 is not a hymn for wedding services. I'm not, anybody that's done that is okay, you're not in sin. It's not even for funerals. Loved one, listen, this chapter 13 is about the gifts of the Spirit. And when people don't understand chapter 13, that's the main reason that you see in Corinth the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit then and even today in our churches. The reason whenever chapter 13 is not treated the way it should be, that's the reason for such ignorance in the church, concerning the gifts, and such fear about the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit. Now listen, the reason that it's all messed up is because chapter 13 is so often studied by the individual Christian, taught by teachers or pastors, okay? And not only that, it's read, taught, studied in isolation from the text from which it's supposed to be in. Are you with me? Oh, that's so important that you've got to have that into your heart because it's concerned with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, listen carefully. It is God's love in you. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto you. The word is agape. It comes only from heaven. Amen? Now, listen. It is God's love in you that truly activates the gifts of the Spirit as he wills, when he wills, and to whom he wills, and operates them according to the Word of God. Does that make sense? It's not because, hey, I got something going for me. It's not to make a man or a ministry, a woman, anybody famous. It's to make Jesus famous. Amen? And when we do it God's way, oh, loved one, listen, I'm telling you what, you will flow in the gifts as God wills. But you're available. Why? You're going to do it God's way. God's love is what activates the gifts in the individual believer. And also, that is how love is how we exercise the gifts. Properly manifested, it's always because love is the rule. Now, with all that being said, it has been said that chapter 13 is the greatest, strongest, deepest thing Paul ever wrote. You know, I don't know why John the Apostle, who's the Apostle of Love, remember? Do you ever wonder why he didn't pen that? How God didn't use him? But when I start thinking about Paul, who writes this chapter, if there is any man who really understood what the agape of God, the love of God truly is, boy, it had to be Paul, didn't it? I mean, he was a murderer. Man, he blocked up Christians. He put them in prison, men and women. He made Christians recant the name of Christ. Not only that, whenever Stephen was being stoned, the first martyr of the church, who was holding the garments? Paul. Or it was Saul then, of course. He made havoc of the church. And now he is penning the greatest chapter on love known to man. Right here before our very eyes. G. Campbell Morgan said, from the standpoint of literature, this is one of the most remarkable passages that has ever come from the pen of man. Now, in your Bibles, I pray they're open to chapter 13, loved one, or at least you have your iPhone or whatever you're using. If you'll notice, right above chapter 13, there's a title there, okay? Now, it may not or may not be in your Bible, depending on the version, but it will say there in your Bibles, the greatest gift. How many people have that in there? Okay, now you know that the Holy Spirit did not put that in there, right? Okay, because love, the agape of God, is not a gift. It is a person. God is love. Are you with me? Very important that we understand that this morning, beginning in chapter 13, verse 1. Paul writes, and he says this, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. Now, he's talking about a spiritual gift. Remember, chapter 13 is all about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, so he's talking about the gifts of tongues. I speak with tongues, men and angels, but if I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Paul is saying simply this, okay, you have the gift of tongues, It could even be angelic. It could be, you could, whatever comes out of your mouth could be the most beautiful, incredible truths, whatever it might be. But if you don't have love, God's love, you are absolutely nothing, no matter what gifts are operating through you. Amen? Many, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, cast out devils in your name, do many wonderful works in your name? Jesus and I will say unto them, Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel chapter 7, said, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. I was never intimate with you. You had the gifts were flowing in my name, but you know what? There was no fruit in your life. There was no love. Depart from me, you doers of iniquity, you who practice sin. Now, with all that being said, you know, listen, there are many today, and the gifts of the Spirit, I love the gifts of the Spirit when they're done the right way. Not where it's all flesh. You understand what I mean? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, man. No, listen, you know, there are those, and I remember, and I people that I love and admire. You know, good friends of mine. Man, if I can just one day, when I can finally, you know, speak, and if I get the gift of tongues, I've made it. And, you know, I've watched some of those. Yeah, they made it all right. And after they made it a goal, and once that happened and occurred in their life, man, they were on fire for God before. But then all of a sudden that happens in their life. And you know what happens to many? They just settle down into a fruitless life for Christ, doing nothing and never winning a person to Christ. No, listen, that's wrong. Amen. No, so we're not a lover of the gifts. We're the lover of God who gives the gifts. Amen. Now, let's go to verse 2. And though Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy, man, I can bring a word from God from heaven to you or whatever and understand all the mysteries, all the secrets of God and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, meaning wonder-working miracle faith, okay, so that I could remove mountains. Now, that's the working of miracles. But if I have not what? Love. If I don't have agape, if I don't have God's love in me, and I'm not operating God's love, letting that love operate through the gifts, Paul says, you are absolutely nothing. I gain nothing. I am nothing. I just am totally wasted. You can have, Paul says, all knowledge. I mean, every kind of knowledge about everything that there is, all the knowledge of the universe. You can know every secret of God. The rapture, the day, the moment, the hour, or the second coming of Christ. The moment that the heavens part and the church comes back with him from heaven. Revelation 19, 11 and following. To know that, to know, man, would you like to know that? I would. Why men get manicures or pedicures. If you do that, I hope that you put the man back in manicure. You understand? We live in a sissy generation now. I love you. I'm walking in love right now. Amen. Prophecy, whatever it might be, prophecy, all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith, without love, nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I become a martyr, whatever. But if I have not God, our love, God's love in me, it profits me, what? Nothing. There's no profit to it. Can you imagine having all of these remarkable qualities in just one man? One man. One person. What comes out of the mouth is so beautiful, so eloquent, you know, or the knowledge, the mystery, all these things that they know. You know, the fact of the matter is that apart from love, it doesn't profit the person a thing. That's what Paul says, meaning the Christian. Listen, apart from love, the gifts of the Spirit, will never be exercised the right way. They will be always exercised in a very selfish and self-centered manner. You know why? Because, you know, when a believer exalts the gifts to the highest place like they did at Corinth, what happens? Jesus is no longer their first love. Are you following me? Revelation 2:4, Jesus said, you have left your first love. So if the gifts are now above the Lord, loving him, man, you know what happens? That person then, it's impossible for him or her to be loving. That's why it's all messed up. You know, there are three kinds of love that a man, woman can operate in on this planet. The first one is eros. Now, that word, sensual love, of course, it's not found anywhere in the New Testament. And then there's phileo. That Greek word phileo, we get our, the name of the city, Philadelphia, brother, the city of brotherly love, and so forth. Philanthropist, or however you say that word, that's another one that comes from that word. It means a reciprocal love. In other words, phileo, reciprocal love. You love me, I love you, you know? You know what I mean. You like a pizza, I like a pizza. You understand what I mean? Yeah, the moment you don't like pizza, or the moment you're saying that you no longer are a Cowboy fan, I don't love you, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, bear with me today. Oh. But then agape. What a word, agape. Supernatural love that comes from heaven to man, into man's heart. This word agape in the days of Christ was so rare, you couldn't even find it in unbiblical Greek documents. Eros, yes, phileo, oh yeah, but not agape, coined by the Lord. Listen, this is a beautiful, beautiful word. It's a love that gives. John 3:16, for God so agapeo, he gave his only begotten son. In other words, this kind of love costs. Now listen very carefully. The love that is in our heart that activates the gifts of the Spirit, operates the gifts. Okay, now listen now. It's not a feeling love. It's not an emotional love. That's not what agape is, okay? Agape is a deliberate love. Deliberate. Jesus said, love thy enemies. Amen? That's a very hard thing to do. I've had so many people, it's always in counseling. They are an enemy. I don't love them. I hate them, Bill. I said, no, you don't understand what Jesus meant. He was not telling you to love them with the emotion of love. Why? Because it's a command. Do you follow me? When you're commanded to love, it's okay, I've got to love you. Well, no, wait a minute. It's not a feeling of love. It's the obedience of love. Jesus said to obey, I'm obeying. I'm going to, no, it's not, no, it's deliberate. It's an act of my will. I'm going to do what Jesus said, but that doesn't mean that there's an emotion behind it. Does that make sense? Agape, man, is supernatural. It is uncaused. It's not based on how good the person is or the performance of another person or, boy, they really add up. No, it's agape loves everyone. Do you understand what I'm getting at? It's never about self. It is always about other people. It seeks the welfare of other people. And agape is the only word in the Bible that is used to describe God. 1 John 4:7-8. Remember, let me read it to you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. In other words, he's the source, the origin of love. And everyone who loves is born of God. Whoever agapes. That's the new birth. You have that love, his love in you. And knows God. Now listen carefully. He who does not love, agape, does not know God. For God is love. Unchanging. His love never goes up. It never goes down. It's not based upon the worth or the unworthiness of the individual. Love, God's love is love. It's perfect. Do you understand? It really is in every believer's heart. And this kind of love, unregenerate man, meaning those that are not Christians, they can never, ever have this because it's supernatural. It's a supernatural love. The world that we live in has simply destroyed what true love is. It's sickening. I mean, you've watched I Love You, or, you know, I don't know that even today, young people in the church, even maybe many Christians, they don't really know, haven't grasped what the agape truly is. But I can tell you that the world's love is not the love that we're talking about. Amen? No. Now listen, the gifts of the Spirit, they operate by the agape of God. Now, why is that? Well, the reason is this. Is that because agape is a love that comes down from God. It's not a natural love. It's not a romantic love. It is absolutely 100% what love really is. Are you with me? Now, when the world, here you are, you're a believer, they're an unbeliever, or maybe a believer, whatever, doesn't matter. But that love is in you. And you know what happens when Christians truly walk in chapter 13 in their lifestyle, but when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, now listen carefully, then that kind of love, as we're going to see in just a moment, when we get into the description of love, that becomes a magnet to those that are hurting, those that are wounded, those that are downcast, those that are going through hell, those that are going through a divorce, those who are, their children are a prodigal, those who have a disease in their body, those who are suffering from depression, those who are just ready to give up on life. And see, when you walk in that kind of love, it's a magnet, and they come to you because it's not natural love. Are you with me? Now listen, unnatural love, when the gifts of the Spirit, when you see all this flesh, that's because that it draws the flesh. It doesn't draw the Spirit. No, you walk in this because you can walk in this, and you will see what God does in your life. It is, you know, you can only those who are born again. Born again has the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now listen carefully. It is heartbreaking to me, and I've been around a long time, and I have preached in churches. I wouldn't even want to tell you some of the churches that I have ministered in that are too over-the-top wild. Loved one, listen, it's heartbreaking to me, and it should be heartbreaking to every pastor and every Christian that the fruit of the Spirit, love, is not elevated and given the very highest place in the church. Do you understand? Man, listen, that is a top place to be. And there's so many believers today, maybe because they're not taught or they're not studying properly, I don't know, but they don't want that standard. In other words, they would rather, let's talk about love. I love talking about love, but man, I tell you what, I don't want to practice it. I don't mind treating love as a noun, but I don't want to treat it as a verb. Well, you know, do you understand what I'm getting at? Oh, no, love is the basis of the operation of all of the gifts of the Spirit, and without the love in that believer manifesting, being real, then the gifts are absolutely nothing for that individual. It is love. It is God's love in us that activates the gifts toward other people when he wills again and as he wills and in whom he wills. Now, verse 4. When we begin in verse 4, there's going to be 14 descriptions, if you will, of love in action because they are all verbs, okay? They're not a noun. It's a verb. It's action, okay? So listen, it's going to tell us what love does. It's going to tell us what love doesn't do. And remember that this now is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and this is love not for self. It is love for others, the lost and the believers as well. Now let's look at these verbs. It says love suffers what? What does that mean? It means it doesn't get upset just like that. You know what I mean? You didn't shake my hand. You didn't say hello to me when I walked in the door. Oh, stop it. Come on, don't give me a hard time this morning, man. I mean, you know, when you take Sudafed, you can be like James and John. Lord, do you want to call fire down from heaven? You know I'm teasing you. No, love suffers long. In other words, it's not quick to take offense. No, it's love is patient, loved one. Look at the next one. Love is kind. Listen, when it reaches out to other people. Jesus, you know, who God anointed, remember, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38, for God was with him. There's something about a person that is kind. I mean, you know, the feelings of being kind. It's that you do kind things. Does that make sense? See, that's what love does. Love doesn't think about self. You think about that other person. You look at that other person. You hurt when they hurt. Just like we learned in chapter 12. When one member suffers, we all suffer. Are you with me? Okay, that's so important that we see that love does not envy. It doesn't boil over with jealousy. It doesn't say when you get, man, my buddy, he's a Christian, he just got a brand new Cadillac, and you go, why? I don't like that. Well, why? Why? Look at the home they live in. Look what we live in. What? Why? Praise God. Go over to their house and enjoy it. They're paying for it. You're not. No. Listen, look at this now. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't draw attention to themselves. Love is not puffed up. It doesn't have an inflated idea of its own importance. Do you understand? No. No, listen. Love is kind. It's a verb. It does kind things to others. Love is patient. It doesn't feel patient. It practices patience. You know, someone said this, Chrysostom wrote, the early church father said this about patience. It is a word which is used of a man who is wronged and who has easily in his power to avenge himself, but will never do it. Patience never retaliates. You know, we're all guilty of retaliating, aren't we? No, love doesn't parade itself. What does that mean? Love doesn't brag. It doesn't draw attention to self. It doesn't need the applause of people at all. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had a perfect walk. He's still perfect. He never exalted himself. Never. He never exalted himself, yet he was God. He never bragged or boasted about anything. Love is not, look at it, puffed up. Someone put it this way. There is no swagger in love. It's too big for that. You know, William Carey, who was the father, considered the father of modern missions, a brilliant, you know, linguist. I think he translated the Word of God, parts of it, into 34 different languages. It was said of him, let me read here. It says that Carey, he had been raised in a simple home in England, and in his early manhood, he worked as a cobbler. In India, he often was ridiculed for his low birth and farmer occupation. At a dinner party one evening, a snob said, "Well, I understand, Mr. Carey, that you once worked as a shoe maker." "Oh, no, 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 your lordship," Carey replied. "I was not a shoemaker, only a shoe repairman." See, love is not puffed up, amen? No, it does not behave rudely. Love has manners. You won't find that on 820, but love has manners. You know what I mean? That means that love is never unattractive. God's love, the agape, is what I'm talking about. It does not seek its own. It doesn't insist upon its own way. It's not selfish. You know, I told a person earlier this morning, I said, love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. Meaning, if you go back when that all started, it started in the very Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when self replaced God. And it's been that way ever since. Love is not easily provoked. It's not touchy. It doesn't have a chip on its shoulder, if you will. And it says here, it thinks no evil. And I love that one. You know, thinks no evil, there are, it mean, is literally an accounting term, okay? Keeping score. It literally means here that love keeps no record of wrongs. You know, love doesn't harbor resentment, does it? That's what it means. But I can assure you that resentment keeps a very careful set of books, doesn't it? But God doesn't. And love doesn't do that. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. The Bible tells us, and I'm so glad that it does, in Romans chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven," meaning that word means to send away. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. "And whose sins are covered." That word means canceled. Our sins are canceled by the very blood of Jesus Christ. And they are so covered, they will never be found again. Amen? And listen to what he says now. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." That means never credit our past sins, our future sin to an account, our account. Look what you did. Look how you failed. the Bible tells us, loved one, in Psalm 130, verse 3, it says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, that means to another accounting term, write them down, keep a score card. If you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? We all know the answer to that. No one could stand. Amen? But it says, but there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I am so thankful that God doesn't mark down our sins. He has blotted out our sins. Amen? You know, love does not rejoice in iniquity, meaning, man, I am so thankful that guy, that person, they got what they deserved. They had it coming. That's not what love does. Love doesn't rejoice, but it rejoices in the truth. See, agape never finds satisfaction in the misfortune of others. When they've blown it, when they failed, when everything falls apart in their life. Well, I knew it was going to happen. They were mean anyway. They had it coming. No, love doesn't say or express itself that way. Love expresses itself and rejoices only in the truth, loved one. Love bears all things. I love that. That's what love does. Anything that comes our way, love can bear it. That's what agape does. It means that love is strong, and it remains strong no matter how heavy the load is. It says love believes all things. That means, oh, thank you, Lord. You'd be shocked if all of a sudden we left. Some of you might not go. Let's pray that wasn't the Spirit of God speaking. Love believes all things. Just keep believing. That's what I do. I really do. I just keep believing. Persuaded. It believes the best about us. It doesn't mean that you're some gullible believer. It means that they may have failed a million times, but you're ready to believe in them again. You're ready to believe that they can have a new beginning. That's what God does. See, this is God's love. He gives you a new chance, a new beginning, fresh day, over and over. Love hopes all things. That means that love never looks at others as hopeless. Love doesn't look at prodigals as hopeless. Love doesn't look at your marriage and say, it's hopeless, it's never going to make it. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't give up. Never give up. Why? Because God's the God of all hope, amen? He's the source of all hope. Love endures all things. That means at any cost, no matter what it is, love endures all things, and it does so without weakening. Why? Agape, love, refuses to quit. It refuses to stop loving. It refuses, loved one, listen, love, this kind of love can never be conquered. Why? Well, we just read it. Because it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And this is the kind of love that is a magnet to the hurting. This is the love that activates the gifts of the Spirit. Now listen, the reason this love is so incredible is because it's His love. Every description that we have just learned from 4 to 7, every is a picture of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Now, we are His body, and we're to walk in love, all right? And the only way we can do so is to completely do what He said to do right here. To love like this is to love like Jesus. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be ye imitators of God as dear children. We're to imitate the Lord. And say, Lord, this is what you told us to do. You see, when we're kind, not the feeling of being kind, I'm just going to be kind to that individual. Do they deserve it? I don't know if they deserve it. I'm not God. Amen? I'm just going to be kind. Why? Because I have the love of God in my heart. I'm going to be kind. Not the emotional feeling, not a feeling. I'm going to just be kind to other people because God said to. It's living in my heart. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:6, it says, if we say that we abide in him, let us walk even as he walked. Philippians 2:5, let this mind, meaning Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus told us in John 13, what did he tell us in the upper room? He said, listen, he says, a new commandment I give unto you that ye love one another. Here's the new part, as I have loved you. By this, the whole world, all will know that you're my disciples when you love one another, agape, like I loved you. And then we get to verse 8. The foundational scripture, and which has always been the foundational scripture of this church. Love never fails. Did you know that never is a long time? It never, love never, the agape of God, it fails. Now listen, you know what I love about Paul? You notice what he just did? We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Man, they love in Corinth the gifts of the Spirit. There's people today, they love the gifts of the Spirit, okay? I understand. However, Paul, who knew and flowed in the gifts like unbelievable, raising the dead, all the rest of it, he just took love and he placed it where it belonged. He put love at the very highest place. He lifted it right back to where it should always be, to the throne room of God. See, God is love, not love is God. Are you with me? Very important. Never refers, when it says love never fails, never refers to time, okay? Meaning that love never decays. It never wilts. It never dies. It'll outlast everything because it's eternal. Everything that we know of is going to pass away, isn't it? You know what? But right here, he's saying that love never fails. That is one thing in the universe that you can count on forever and ever and ever and ever, because love is deathless. Love is eternal. Love is eternally fresh. It is always young. And you know what? Time's going to fail. When we arrive at heaven, we're not going to say, well, the sun's coming up and here comes the moon. You know why? There is no sun. There is no moon. They're gone. The Lamb is the light of heaven. Amen? Yes. No, listen, love never fails. What a great word. It's become a byword here, a byword in our county, a byword along all over America on the radio where we're on all over. I've received letters, and it all love never fails. Thank you for love never fails. Bill, it's not me. It's God's word. Love never fails. Birthed this church. It birthed a charity called Love Never Fails International. It builds orphanages. It builds homes in Mexico. Love Never Fails has done that. Not only that, it's getting ready to build Haltom Christian School. Amen. That's what this word from God has done. Now listen, love never fails. You've heard me say over the years, it's not a formula. It's not magic. Love doesn't always win, okay? And that hurts. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of the living God, loved every person, yet was he loved? He did good to everyone, yet he was not loved by everyone. But I know this, Jesus never stopped loving those who did not love him. And his love, he went to the cross. Why? He loved us. He died for us. He took our sins. He took our shame. It says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Now listen, when will the prophecies fail? When all the prophecies are fulfilled. Amen? Are they all fulfilled? Okay, so that must mean that God's still working, okay? Not only that, it says now where there's tongues, boy, if there's some that just hate that word, they will cease. I'll talk about that in chapter 14. Whether there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. But it's not vanished away yet. If you'll notice, if you look at my college books from college when I was in school, and you read them today, they would say, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. You follow me? They have all new knowledge now. You understand. No. It says, and then for we know in part, we prophesy in part. In other words, we don't have the total picture. Now listen carefully. Paul is not teaching here, as some say, that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. No. If you believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased, it's okay. I love you, man. To me, it's a non-essential. When people say, well, I don't believe in the gifts, that's okay. Well, I don't believe in the rapture either. I don't care. Well, we're going to get our heads cut off in the great tribulation period. Okay. And I always just tell him, I say, you know, or her, I say, listen, whenever the rapture occurs, I'll explain everything on the way up. You understand? No, that's a non-essential. If they don't believe it, it's okay. I love them. I'm not going to beat them up. Amen? However, when people say, well-known people, and they destroy, say that the gifts are from the devil today and things like that, it breaks my heart. It hurts me because it just kills me. Loved one, listen, the gifts, they have not ceased any more than knowledge has vanished away. Paul would never tell us or tell the church at Corinth, pursue love in chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that ye may prophesy. He would have never penned that if they were going to cease. He would say, you got just a few months left. John's getting ready to die. You know, when John dies, after he writes the Revelation, it's all over with. Are you with me? Yeah, okay. Listen, no. That's not how it works. They haven't ceased. Paul is simply saying, when completeness is finally revealed, all the things that he just mentioned, they're not going to have any need for him anymore. Look at verse 10. But when that which is perfect, or that which is complete, has come, then that which is in part, or literally incomplete, will be done away with. Let me read the Phillips translation. When the complete comes, that is the end of incomplete. Now, there are those that I dearly respect. They teach that phrase there, that which has perfect or complete has come. They say that the word complete is speaking of the Holy Scriptures. In other words, the moment that John on the island of Patmos, pardon me, AD 100, whenever it was, and he finally penned the book of Revelation, and he died. The canon, yes, I agree, was complete, all 66 books. However, they teach that when he died, all the gifts died with him. Well, let me ask you a question. Has the gifts of helps died? The gifts of administration died? Exhortation? Giving? No. Well, then, which gifts have passed away? Well, these spectacular gifts. Oh, I see. So all we need now is money and no power, right? No, loved one, it just doesn't work that way. Now watch what he says again. He says, when that which is perfect has come, you know what that refers to? Not the completion of Scripture, because when we get to verse 12, we're going to find out the one that we're going to meet face to face is our Lord Jesus Christ. When that happens, then everything's going to be finally over with. Amen? That's when it's going to be complete. Verse 11, when as a child I spoke as a child, I understand as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What's Paul saying? Grow up, guys. You're abusing the gifts. You're getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. You're divided. You're carnal. You're babes. Grow up. Stop abusing the gifts of the Spirit. So, the purpose of the gifts, if you'll read Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, go all the way to 16, you're going to find out that the gifts were to build up the body of Christ, to lead us from infancy into maturity, into the fullness of Christ. But we have not attained to the fullness of Christ, and we will not attain to the fullness of Christ until we are with him. Are you with me? The 1 John 3, what is it? 2. For when we see him, we will be like him. We're not like him yet. We're being changed now from glory to glory to glory. But when we see him, there's no more glory to glory to glory. We're home. Oh, praise God for that day. For now we see in a mirror dimly. In other words, blurry, okay? They didn't have mirrors like we had back then. They just looked in metal. You couldn't see the perfect reflection. But then face to face, that day when we see our Lord. Now I know in part. Then I shall know, or fully know, just as I also am known, meaning when that which is perfect has come. So, we have the Bible, we have complete revelation. Yes, our canon is closed, absolutely. We can never add to the Bible. You'll be cursed, anyone that does that. However, loved one, listen, our understanding is best partial. But when Jesus comes, that's going to change. Our partial knowledge then will be displaced with his perfect knowledge. Verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. One day we won't need hope anymore. Do you understand? No, the Bible says in Romans, I think it's 8:24, for hope that is seen is not hope. When we get to heaven, we won't be hoping for heaven. We're there, amen? He says that one day there'll be no need for faith. Remember how the song goes? That in that day when our faith becomes sight, it'll all vanish away. But love, it's the greatest. Love is eternal. Love lasts forever, for God is love. Now listen to me. The church at Corinth elevated the gifts of the Spirit above the Lord. They loved the gifts of the Spirit, the spectacular gifts. They were abusing the gift of tongues like you cannot believe. Loved one, listen, Paul says, why are you doing that? Don't elevate that which will one day not last. Why are you doing that? If you're going to elevate something, elevate that which will last forever. And that is the love of God. That is the agape of God. That's why he says in verse 14, or chapter 14, 1, pursue love. In other words, make it your chief goal because it opens the door for the gifts of the Spirit. Watch, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now listen very carefully. Let me just make a quick application and you guys can go to Luby's, okay? Whenever someone truly sees a believer walking in agape, the supernatural love of God, they're not edgy, they're not touchy, they're not quickly offended, they're always kind, they turn the other cheek, they take offense, they never defend themselves, they let God defend them. That's exactly what Jesus did. When they beat him, he never said a word, never opened his mouth. When they ripped his back to pieces, he never said a thing. No, loved one, listen to me. It is love, the agape of God, that activates the gifts. And it's the only way to exercise the gifts. It is God's love in you that exercises the gifts in us when he wills, as he wills, in whom he wills, and when that happens, you don't know when it's going to happen. You can't plan it. Gift of healing, okay. No, it doesn't work that way. I hear it all the time. I have the gift of healing, you know, and then people say, well, then if you have that gift, why don't you go to the hospital and empty Cook's Children's Hospital? And they go, well, I say, those, and they'll always say, well, they don't believe. If they believe, then I could pray. You ever heard of bull? Listen, the gifts don't work when I want them to work. The gifts work when he wants them to work. And those gifts are not my gifts. They're his gifts. They don't belong to me. I am a steward. You are a steward. Amen. Okay, so they're activated. So whenever a person is hurting, whenever they are wounded, whenever they need God, and they see, they don't know how to explain it, but they see a believer who walks in that kind of love, who demonstrates that kind of love. It draws them to that individual. And when that happens, then all of a sudden the love that God has bestowed and poured out in your heart starts manifesting. You hear the voice of God, or you know that you're to pray, or immediately you have a word for somebody. That's how it works, and I can't explain it all. But I just know that's how it happens. Listen, love, the love of God is a magnet to those that are wounded. He was 67 years old. He stood 6'7". He had the whitest hair and the bluest eyes that I'd ever seen in my life. His hair snow white, and he combed it straight upward. So he added another 5 inches to his height. He was an incredible individual. He had a ragged old beard, and his dress was unbelievable. His cowboy boots were different, one on each side, a different color, different type, and his pants were so baggy and so dirty that he would take his and put the pants into the boots. You know what I'm talking about. And then they were so large on him, he would take a rope, and that was his belt, and he would tie it. He always wore the same clothes. He always looked the same way, and he wore a plaid sport coat that was so tiny, his gigantic arms, the coat would come up to here. You know what I'm saying? It could never be buttoned, and he had a tie so colorful, so long, so big, so wide, big as Texas. You understand what I mean? His name was O.Z. Spurlock. He was the strangest man that I've ever met in my life. He drove a Cadillac that was old and long and beat up and a piece of junk. It was a convertible. One door on the driver's side was completely gone. He would drive it, seemed driving through the city at all time, even in the middle of the night. And on one side of the car where the door was, there was a glow in the dark. You know those glow in the dark words? It says, "I am a weather prophet." Now, he wasn't a weather prophet, but he said he was a weather prophet. Are you with me? Loved one, listen. This individual taught me 35 years ago about love. Nobody wanted him. Not one church would let him into their community or into the doors. He had the strangest voice that you ever heard. I mean, because he would go dip, 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 and he would say, "There's a hurricane happening right now in Florida." What? But it wasn't really true. Do you understand? And on the front of his Cadillac when he pulled in, you can't imagine what was on the hood right there in the front. Texas Longhorns. You know what I'm saying? He was unbelievable. One day, he comes into my office. He just walks right in unannounced. I didn't know he was coming. I didn't even know the man. I didn't know if he's a serial killer. I just knew he was weird. He pulls in, and you could hear that Cadillac as it ran. It was horrible, the sound, and no mufflers, and you know what I'm saying. And he pulls in, comes to my office, and he walks up to me, and he goes, "Dip, dip, dip, dip. There's a hurricane happening," or whatever, China. I don't know what he was talking about. But he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out two little, short, used, dirty pencils and a piece of wadded up white paper, and he set it on my desk, and he turns around, and he walks out. And that was my introduction to O.Z. Spurlock. You know, everyone treated him with disdain. I don't know, and I'm not trying to say that he was drawn to me, because I know that the agape of God is a magnet. But there was something that he liked about me. And I'm not for sure what it was, because he was a very difficult man to talk to. And one night he would never come to church. I begged him to come to church, but he would never come to church. He pulled in, it was a Sunday night service, and it had let out, and there was probably 20, 25 of the youth outside. And they were having a spitball fight. You know what that is? That's where you put... Our kids are more mature than that. Man, and they were slamming each other. It was gross. And I'm just standing out there talking to someone. And all of a sudden, O.Z. gets out of the car. He's walking right in the crowd. And those kids, all of them, they take that spit stuff out of there and just pound him in the face. And he's just backing up as they keep hitting him. And I'm going crazy. And the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to my heart. And this is what he said, the Lord. He says, "My church, my people, they have been doing that to him all of his life, hitting on him, beating on him, mocking him, making fun of him, laughing at him." Well, of course, after I beat all the children, I knew that I'd probably never see O.Z. again. Who would ever want to come to a church that did that? Amen? About a week later, O.Z. comes to my office one more time. Gives me the pencils. Gives me the paper. I still don't know to this day why. I look at him and I said, "O.Z., I said, please forgive me. But I said, you are weird. Everybody knows you're weird. You're not a weather prophet. You've never been a weather prophet. Your car is a junk pile, and look at the clothes. What's your story? And he looked at me. I'll never forget it. Because he always said, he never called me by Pastor or Bill or anything. He looked and said, Bill? And I thought, well, there's somebody there. He goes, you see, I grew up on the farm. And my mama and my daddy were farmers. I said, okay, why are you so weird then? Farmers aren't weirdos, eh? He said, well, see, they had to work in the field. And it was winter. They were plowing it up. And it was cold. And they left me in my crib. And the fireplace was going. And they were out in the field. And I fell out of my crib, rolled over to the fireplace, and cooked my brain. And he leaned over, it's a huge man, and he leaned over, and what I saw, I'll never forget, the mutilation that took place. And I looked at him, kill me. I said, OZ, do you know Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord? He goes, Jesus, of course he's my Lord. I love Jesus with all my heart. I said, you mean you are a believer? He said, yes, I'm a believer. He gets up. I look at the pencils. He's gone. Sunday night, never had he ever been to a church service. No one would let him have it in the town. I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about the agape of God in people. Are you listening to me? There was a young woman who now, she died in a car wreck. Incredible, gifted woman. She was only 35 when she died. Her name was LaWanna Latour. I could listen to her sing forever. And she was there at the church that night, and she was singing and just sharing about what God had done in her life. And guess who walks into the church as she is singing? OZ. He comes in. I'm in shock. He sits in the very, very back row. And when he sits down, he's still taller than everybody in the church. Do you understand? His hair is sticking straight up. He's got all the outfit on that he wears. And I'm going, OZ is here. And I'm thinking, praise the Lord. And then I could tell that LaWanna, that the power of God was moving in her. And she started walking down the aisle toward that man. And I'm going, oh God, please, please. He's going to scare that man out of the church. Don't let that woman go up to him. Please. You know what I mean. You've been there, right? Just let the man alone, you know. And she just starts singing and singing. And she says, you, oh, God just gave me a special song for you. She said, and he wants to honor you. But he wants you to know right now through this song, as I sing, how much he loves you. She starts singing that song. And she goes, and OZ, his face is as white as a white shirt. I know he's terrified. And I'm trembling in my heart for him, because I know he's afraid of people. Do you understand? She gets him by the hand. She takes him. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, oh God, what's going to happen next? Takes him all the way up to the pulpit, and he is standing in front of all these people. And I know he is terrified in his heart. And she turns to him with the microphone, holding his hand, and sings one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard in my life. The moment that she did that, talking about love, the agape of God, the gift. Do you know it says singing and making melody in your heart as unto the Lord? Singing spiritual songs one to another, Ephesians 5:19. And that's what she started doing. And then the power of the Lord came into the building. I don't know how to explain that, but you just know the Lord was there. And one by one, as she was singing that song, those kids, the youth, that had thrown spitballs in OZ's face, one by one, I watched it. I've never forgotten for the rest of my life. They got up out of their chair one by one. The first one came up, and I was going, I don't know what was happening. And the kid fell upon OZ and started crying and said, OZ, forgive me. I love you. Then the next kid, until there was a 20, 25 kids all around him. And then some of the adults came up and circled around and fell upon him. And you could see him straining. And all of a sudden, he felt something that I'm sure he had never felt in his life. He felt acceptance. He felt loved. I saw him smile. I saw him looking at the kids. I saw him forgiving the kids. I saw agape. I saw healing. I saw a man that now had a life and had a reason to have a life. Are you listening to me? Listen, loved one. You know, listen, that's what love does. That's what the agape of God does. She immediately reached out to him and brought healing to this poor man in his life. He's 67 years old. He's dead now. But he was never the same. Why? The gifts of the Spirit. Why? The gifts of the Spirit activated by the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. When you start loving the right way, and I love the right way, you can't help but exercise the gifts that God has given unto you. That's what it's all about. Don't let anyone tell you that the gifts operate any other way. Well, because I'm special. No, it's only because of the agape of God. And he gets the glory. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. As your word says, Lord, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. As our heads are bowed and our eyes closed and Christians pray, maybe you feel that you have been beaten down like OZ this morning. You just keep beating on and beating on and beating on. And you just need God to help you. If that's you, You don't need to come down here, but would you just lift your hand as a sign of faith unto God and say, Bill, pray for me. Yes, I know. God bless you. That's right. I just want God to, yes, God bless you. That's right. God bless you. I just don't want to be beat on anymore. I just need the love of God to wash me, to help me, to be with me. Touch them, Lord. Touch them. Bring healing to them. Restore them. Give them new beginning, new day. Love never fails. Oh God, I pray that this church, that your love blows our hearts apart. Activate your gifts through the love you've given us. Let us truly walk in chapter 13, Lord. Let us truly look at one another, to love one another, help one another, be good to one another, be kind to one another, long-suffering one to another. Love never fails. The greatest of everything. If there's anyone here and Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You're not saved. I tell you, he loves you. You come to him. You come to him. You come to this altar when the song is over in a few minutes, and let these at the altar pray with you and for you. Lord, I'm thankful for the gifts. I'm thankful for these people. I'm thankful for this day. God is so good. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Isn't God good? There's no one like our Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You know, there's a million OZs out there. They may not dress like him, but they feel like him. You are a walking gift from the living God. Man, I pray that you're ready to serve the Lord like that. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. You know, as you need prayer, when the song is over, there'll be people here to pray with you. If you don't know the Lord, please, you come to the altar as well. I'm going to depart over to the main lobby, to the visitor center. If it's the first time you've ever been here, listen, they have a free, incredible gift over there for you. They want to give it to you. I'd love to meet you as well. Now, when you read chapter 13 today, don't study it and don't read it as if it's separate from the context of the gifts of the Spirit. You read it today and say, that's what activates the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. I love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. He's so good to me.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Let's give him thanks as we leave today.